Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. This is David Heimer. I'm always delighted for a chance to talk with Larry Taylor. I always think of him as Mr. Everything in our industry, and here's why I say that. He built this fabulous company, AirRight, in Fort Worth, Texas. He successfully sold it a few years ago. He's a former chairman of ACCA. He was named to the HVAC Hall of Fame. He was on the board of directors of ServiceNation. He was a business coach for ServiceNation Alliance. He's an advisory board mentor for ServiceNation Alliance, and he was president of the Better Business Bureau in Fort Worth. And there's probably even a lot more than that. Larry's just too modest to tell me. So Larry Taylor, welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. Before we get into the more meatier stuff, how did you end up in our industry?
Well, that's a long, short story, I guess. I was raised on a farm up in Oklahoma and, you know, knew I didn't want a farm, so I wanted to get in something that wasn't weather-related, so I had the opportunity to go to Oklahoma State Tech University in Okmulgee, Oklahoma, and study air conditioning, so I did that. So we were able to enter an emerging market in 1965 when I started, and it was just really starting to come online. There was a lot of retrofit to existing heating systems, but not a lot of new installations yet having them put in homes. So in on the early part of it, worked on a lot of stuff that most of the audience have never heard of. So, you know, it's great to have a lot of scar tissue and t-shirts to go along.
You possess a wealth of knowledge born from trying new things, experimenting, and refining. And one time you developed a really unique recruiting plan. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, David, as you know, and most of the people probably listening to this know that have met me, I've always got a story to go with about anything I got. But starting back in the earlier days, you know, I just wasn't satisfied with our call center. But I was doing what everybody else was doing and thought, well, I guess that's the way to do it. But one of the things I wanted to always do was to have someone doing, you know, 100% happy calls, I call them at that point, or happy checks, on the phone. And we would try to have our internal call center do it, and they get busy with incoming calls and they wouldn't do it, et cetera, et cetera. And that always hung in the back of my mind. So finally, about 2009, I just got fed up with it and said, do something or forget about it. So we hired a lady to come in and do nothing but outbound calling on every service call and service invoice and job that we did. She had no responsibility for answering any incoming phone calls, et cetera. So she would grab her invoices when they came in, look through them. If someone had a lead or a lead came in, she would talk to the people and set all that up. And so that got us a lot of business. It's surprising how much business that, you know, was out there that we could do with existing customers that we didn't have to resell that would just trust us and say, yeah, come on out and do this stuff. And our problem was that our technicians was putting it on the invoice but not talking to the consumers about it. So getting someone else to call back and open up a conversation and get this thing going was just exciting. Plus, you sold enormous amounts of service agreements each week just by talking to these people and offering it to the customers when the technicians didn't. And I know with every contractor, we were no different and probably no different today. We still try to get our technicians to sell service agreements. Some companies have great luck with it. Some cannot get a technician to do it. So it's all in the systems and the processes in my mind of getting that set up. So that's sort of how we got started with doing these happy checks. As we were doing this, later on, we decided that, you know, we got some great people in the call center, but they're just great hello people. Make a good impression on the first call, we'll set up a call for the customer for what they want. But that's all they were doing. They weren't pushing service agreements because they thought that was the technician's responsibility. And as I mentioned about the technicians, they weren't necessarily wild about it. So as we needed some more people, we decided we wanted to change our profile of who we were hiring in the call center and get more of a aggressive passive instead of a passive-passive type person in the program. So we started looking around, and the lady that we had hired knew of an organization called Centicor in Fort Worth, and I'm sure there's some of these types of facilities in other areas, that was a substance abuse, rehabilitation, re-education type organization. And when she mentioned them, it flashed back to 20, 30 years before when I was still at TD Industries running that operation in Fort Worth, that we did some volunteer work for this CentiCorps organization, put in some equipment and helped them get up and get going. And I had sort of forgot about them and didn't really realize what all they did. Well, she brought that back to the table. So we got in touch with CentiCorps and found out what their program was. They had bright young people and bright older people in the programs that were in the system for different reasons. They'd been sent to the rehabilitation, recovery, if you will, by courts. Some of them just checked in on their own. Some of them, their families, you know, kind of pushed them into it and those type of things. But one of the things we found out when we got to visiting with CentiCorps was that they went in there for the first 6 weeks or so and were just in training and rebuilding their minds, went to classes every day at a regular schedule, just like they would at work, of doing things. But then after 6 weeks, they could go out into the marketplace with employers and work. Each of them had to have an accountability partner, so they always had to get two people to do it. So we met the rep with CentiCorps, visited the facility, laid out what we were trying to do, and they would then select people they thought would meet the profile for us to convert our call center into more of an aggressive call center, you know, asking more questions up front, selling more maintenance agreements, setting more sales leads and those type things. So that's kind of how we got started. So we visited with the people, we brought them on board, we started training them and using them. We could not even buy lunch. It was such a tight control program that we couldn't, you know, give them a lot of stuff at work unless it was something we offered to all the employees in the lunchroom or whatever. They would deliver them to the office every morning at 8 o'clock. They would pick them up sharply at 5 o'clock. We could not pick them up. We could not take them back to the CentiCorps facility or anything like that. So we started using these folks, bringing them on board, training them. Some of them took to the, you know, water like a duck. Some of them didn't. But the neat thing was that if one of them failed or just wasn't working out, CentiCorps would happily replace them and bring them in. We paid CentiCorps directly, whatever our prevailing wage was, for this service, and then CentiCorps would pay the person in the program part of that money, and they had to establish bank accounts and be able to do budgets and buy a car and get out of debt and some of those type things before they could graduate the program. So they used that money, then CentiCorps used the balance of it to keep the facility going and support them. After, I believe it was 6 months of being in the program, then they could go out on their own, once they could prove those stats, go out on their own, get their own apartment, and become, you know, full-time employees without CentiCorps supervision. So we picked up, oh, I don't know, over the years, we probably picked up a half a dozen or more permanent employees that stayed with us for several years. And matter of fact, one of them is still with the organization that I sold to 6 years ago. So that individual's probably been with my company or the new company for about 8 years now. And just to see the difference that we could make in their lives, in their attitudes, and to watch them grow and develop, that was just super rewarding for us. The downside of this was, David, that, you know, it was very disheartening on the team members that got close to them and worked every day. You know, we had cases where one of them went home at night and overdosed that night, you know, just fell back into the program and overdosed. We had others that would start missing days of work and come back and just couldn't make it. They'd relapse into the program. So it's wonderful, and it was a great feeling to do that, but also it was a sad feeling when the ugliness of life, I guess, stuck its head up and created some of those problems. But it was a great learning experience for all of us. You know, we did it until the day I sold the company at the end of 2012. The new purchaser stopped the program. He didn't continue using the program. But I would highly recommend that to anyone that, you know, has one of these type of facilities in their market area.
Yeah, I mean, weighing the good and the bad of it, you'd still do it again, right?
Absolutely. You know, it's the right thing to do. We have so many young people, David, that for whatever reason, and I'm not trying to be judgmental here, but for whatever reason, get started on the wrong path. They go down this ugly trail, and there's a lot of people out here wanting to help, willing to help. They just don't know how, and I think that was our case. You know, we did a lot of community stuff. You know, we were in all the community organizations, served on many of the boards, did Santa's Helpers, did Samaritan House, did Cancer Research Centers, stick cancer recovery centers, you know, anything we could pretty much do to help these organizations, Catholic Charities, You know, and so you're trying to do things in the community, and we tend to overlook this, you know, and it was less than half a dozen blocks from us. I knew right where the building was when I heard the name. And, you know, quite frankly, I was a little bit embarrassed or frustrated, whatever you want to say, because, wow, you know, we could have been doing this years before. We just didn't open our eyes and our hearts enough to go do it.
What a fabulous story, and what a great impact you had on those people's lives and on the community. That's awesome stuff. I appreciate you sharing that with us, and I know that other people will take heart and hopefully follow up and do something similar.
There's so many things in the community, and you know a lot of the same contractors that I do that are just doing marvelous things for their communities and supporting different things, and I just would encourage them to, you know, again, broaden one more circle out from their circle of influence and see what's out there. There's some good people out there that just need a little bit of someone to love them.
Yep, exactly. I'd like to switch gears briefly. One time I was on a ServiceNation Alliance advisory board call with you. You were the mentor on it. And somebody talked about introducing add-on sales products to techs. And you started talking about how to do that, what your experience was, what worked and what didn't work. And I remember thinking at that time, everybody should hear this. This is great. And it wasn't long, but it's what I said earlier. You've got this great experience, and it was terrific. I'm sure those people on the call were taking notes, and it saved them hours, days, weeks of time just by listening to you. So I was wondering, could you step us through that again?
You know, I think we were just like every other contractor out there. You know, we had all these, you know, add-on things, and at least we had put it into a format of just a picture on the left side. I think we used Excel spreadsheet or something. You know, picture on the left side, a description in the middle, and a price out there for service agreement, non-service agreement customers, and just had it in a book. You know, we're encouraging our technicians to, you know, offer these things out there, you know, and for us marketing people or for management, we sit there and we, you know, we dream of this stuff all day. You know, we think of it at night or whatever, and we come up with all these great things that is a great benefit to the consumer, and it's easy for us to remember that we do all these things. But being an old technician, you got to remember they got so many other things going on that getting them to remember the inventory of stuff that we have for add-on sales and upgrades is just overwhelming. And so, you know, anytime someone gets overwhelmed with something that's not mandatory, they're not going to do it. They're just not going to offer it. So we'd create programs at different times of the year for selling, you know, items. If you sold X dollars of these add-ons, well, you know, you get a free Apple pad or something, you know. That didn't work either. Or worked to limited, you know, success. So I just sort of got to thinking about it. I thought, we're confusing the technicians' minds and we're confusing the customers with all these things. So I decided just to cut back and only offer, you know, one thing. Technicians had one thing that we really wanted them to focus on upgrading, and did it per month to see kind of what would happen. And we started out again. We had a promotion of an iPad. This is when they first came out and were hot. I guess they're still pretty hot, but anyway, on that, and I think it was surge protectors on condensing units. And that was something that the technicians could buy into because they knew the damage that spikes did to compressors and contactors and pitting and all that. So it was easy for them. They felt comfortable with it. It was easy for them to put on, easy to do. They got a nice spiff off of it. We took everything else off the plate. They still had this chart in there of accessories, but they didn't have to try to sell any of them. All they had to try to do was sell that one. And I think it was anyone, we didn't do a single promotion. It was anyone that sold, I can't remember, maybe it was 20 of these surge protectors in a month, you know, got this computer or whatever it was. And I think we had probably six or eight technicians at that time. We gave away, I think, four of the iPads. So that just kind of brought it home to me that are we overloading the technicians with these accessory sales and those type items? So we started becoming more selective on what we would sell based upon what the technicians are comfortable with, what we were comfortable selling, and what's the season, what's the time of the year, and then moving forward with it. And once we got the technicians comfortable with doing these things because it was things they believed in, then through you know, our weekly service meetings. We talked about different accessories. During our monthly awards and recognition meeting, we talked about whatever the accessory was for that month and just reinforced it to everyone. So then we just moved it to the internal call center that I had told you that we had reworked. They were pushing them. The technicians were pushing them. So the whole company was pushing the same item, and everyone was in a incentive program to obtain funds off of it, which is always nice. And the whole add-on program just continued to grow, and our average tickets went up.
So if I got this right, you introduced one product in a month. You gave them plenty of education about that product, made sure it was something that they could buy into, believe in, understand the benefits of it. And then you shared that with the whole company. So it wasn't just the technicians that were talking about it. The telesales team were talking about it also. And then there were incentives, and not just financial and product incentives, but also you're recognizing them. Hey,
yes.
You know, last month Larry did four of these. How great was that? Or eight of them, or whatever it is. So they got that nice warm and fuzzy as well, some recognition for it. Did I get all that right?
Pretty much on target there, yeah. The only thing I would add is that a lot of people will do it weekly, put it on their checks weekly, and it shows up on their check, and they got this extra money. They're not sure what they did to get it sometimes, depending on how you get your system set up. But I always felt that, you know, go back to this recognition part, that I wanted to give these out at our monthly, you know, awards and recognition program. I wanted the service manager to stand up with a piece of paper and, you know, call this individual up to the front of the room and shake his hand and present him or her with their incentives. And we did that with any incentive we gave, whether it was lead incentive, maintenance agreement incentives, any kind of incentives that we were doing. You know, the manager would come up and do it, or the key person in that department. And so the same thing with generating sales leads, technicians generating sales leads. At the end of the month, the salesman that ran that call had this little form that we would give him, and he would stand up and present that to the technician or the installer that generated that lead. So it wasn't just, you know, management doing this thing. It was other people in the organization. In the call center, the ladies that got a lead and the technician sold it or mentioned something to them, or happy checks would result in happy comments, and each call center person would pass those out to the field people at the meeting. So we would have other people come up to the front and make these presentations. Several things we were accomplishing with that is that internal people that are not used to getting up in front of groups and talking, that helped them to get over that fear gradually over a period of time. And it got to where it was fun. They were looking forward to doing it and to giving them and doing all that. And then we also had the happy grams and the sappy grams. We did have some of those too. And the team would also pass those out individually during the meeting. So just trying to get everyone involved in the company and buy into it. And then, you know, again, the byproduct of that is more leads, more sales by technicians, more sales by installers, and all that type thing. So that just, in my mind, was part of what made us what we were. And I always call that internal marketing to our employees. And you may have heard me say it. I don't know if you remember it or not, but you've heard me say lots of stuff, so I'll keep you a break on that. you got your internal customers and you got your external customers. And if you're not spending pretty much equal marketing on your internal customers that you're spending on your external customers, you're going to lose your internal customers. We call that employee turnover, I think, is what the real world calls
right.
it. So,
right.
You know, you got to take care of your team members, and they'll take care of you.
Larry, this has been fabulous. What great information. As it usually goes with you, I have these things that I want to talk about, and then you end up giving me a lot more. So this is great stuff. I know you do some consulting and coaching. If someone wanted to reach you, what would the best way be?
Larry T at WASHITAPartners.com.
Fantastic. Well, Larry Taylor, thank you so much for talking with me today. I'd love to have you back sometime in the future if you're willing.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm always happy to visit with you in person or on the phone, either one, David. And, you know, I'm happy to help the people that may be listening to this call grow, and they're welcome to contact me by email at any time, and I'll be glad to respond. And I'm more than happy to help anybody that's trying to succeed in this industry, because it's been such a great industry to me and my family, and hopefully a lot of people that we have touched in our lives and in their lives to make it better for them. So thanks for letting me do this.
Thank you. Great talking to you. Bye-bye.
We're always looking for good ideas and interviews for our podcast. If you have an idea, or maybe you think you should be interviewed, just shoot an email to profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. That's profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. If you think what we're doing has any value, it would be very helpful if you would give us a great rating on iTunes. Thanks for your support. Hope to see you again soon. Bye.